Hi, everyone. Welcome to the TimingResearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 95 for September 24th, 2019. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to five symbols each, and I put the list together. That was an email I sent out before beforehand, and if you're joining us live, and so we're going to get through as many of those as we can. And we are broadcasting and recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and it'll be available on TimingResearch.com and YouTube and podcast networks as soon as we're done recording. And my name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research. And I've arranged for Mike Bassani and Jim Kenny to be here today. And Jim will be moderating. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Thanks a lot. And Mike, good to be back with you here. Before we get started, I just wanted everyone to know exactly all about Mike and Mike's company. So if you could fill us a little bit into your background and also go over a little bit about smart option trading.
Jim, David, thanks for having me back on. Always a pleasure doing this with you, Jim. Really enjoy our interactions. I have a company called smartoptiontrading.com. And, you know, what I do there is I preach what I trade. And what I do is I watch option flow. I call it out to you guys all day long. I call out news. We go over charts and technicals, events. And, you know, you get a general overall feeling every day of what the market is or what the market's doing or not doing or how I feel. And for example, for the last 2 days, I kept telling everybody, I have no conviction in this market. And when I say I have no conviction, it means I'm not sure where we're going to go. I'm going to be extra careful. I'm going to be very prudent in my trades, take small losses, you know, put profit stops in place quickly. And that's what you're going to get when you're with me. So I'm live for about 3.5 hours a day. You get a morning video, a night video, all the option flow, all different ideas for trades for the day based on news and flow and technicals. And I've been doing this now for 5+ years full time, been trading since 2008. And I just love doing this. And I love what I do.
Great. And at the end of the broadcast, of course, Mike will give you ideas on how to get a hold of him and how to pursue some of the things that he's doing. Right now, we're going to hit the list of stocks that were submitted. And the first one is a company that went in the tank in a big way. Some guy on Fast Money, I guess he had bought into the abyss here and was playing for the pop. He's getting a little bit of a pop. But what's going on with Ulta right now?
You know, Jim, this name has gone back and forth between the darling of Wall Street and the most hated name of Wall Street, depending upon the year and the time frame, right? And this, you know, everybody thought that this, they're going to blow earnings out, and earnings were miserable, and they guided down. And Ulta almost never guides down. And so, you know, we saw a smackdown of epic proportions here, right? From all the way up at 335, you know, we were down 100 at one point on that day into this thing. And, you know, look at the size of this gap.
Huge.
It's massive. And people are like, well, how do you play this? With Ulta, you need to give it time to recover. And for the first time, it got back above the 8-day moving average yesterday. And you can see all last week, it tested it, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 days in a row. You can see that gold line there. It just kept banging against it and couldn't get through. And then, as you said yesterday, somebody at Fast Money pumped it. Jim Cramer blessed it and off it went. That said, I'm still not sure the worst is over for this name, especially with this market. I think, you know, a bounce up, the first area for me, I would look to take profits if I traded it, would be probably either to the 21-day, which is at 250/191 right now, or to the gap level itself, which starts roughly at 254.50, and then see, because I think it's going to take another earnings report and a change in character for this thing to really go, and people should not be looking for any kind of massive V-shaped bounce name.
Yeah, I think it might just be as simple as the volume was enormous during the drop, and that volume obviously got filled, and now the likelihood of a bit of a snapback rally on low volume is pretty good shot, and getting above 300 might be a very rough racket, even if you can get even anywhere near that number, because that's where all those lows come in, right there around 300, right?
Yep. And, you know, we didn't quite take out, we tested the December lows. And it, you know, I think this could go a little lower still. I think if the market yanks, I think this thing's going to be in position to get hit with it. Mm. And honestly, I looked at it the last 2 days. I've decided I'm just going to avoid it for now. I just don't have a strong conviction move that it can move here. I think, you know, it's a great sector, but they got it down and they're having some issues. So it might take a little while for this to come back.
Yeah. And this 200 neighborhood, you know, there's a reason why that might be some support after this kind of a drop. So if you owned it, you certainly would want to have some kind of line in the sand or some kind of a hedge in case it broke 200, because then it would be doing something that would be really scary. scary.
But I think you hit a right thing. 200 area, if you weren't in it and the market wasn't falling apart, I think 200 would be a screaming area to buy this thing for a longer term move.
Well, the question everyone should be going home tonight is this a rollover of significance or is this just a drop because of the back and forth on the impeachment thing? And I think it's too early to really tell, but there were some things that had been strong that did roll over today a bit, the semis being one of them. So let's take a look at Adobe and find out if this looks like something that, maybe more than a one-day deal. ADB.
Yep. Well, I mean, for the last 2 weeks, we've seen money flowing out of a lot of these high flyers, Jim, right? We saw the cloud names getting hit, the software names getting hit. We saw the IPOs taking a hit. And Adobe, is kind of in that cloud software name, right? It fits the boat perfectly. And it's been weak for the better part of a couple months already, right? It's basically been coming in for 2 weeks here. To address your point, I don't think this is the start of any major pullback in the markets. I think it's going to be shallow. I do think we end the year at all-time highs, for what it's worth. I'm not trying to tell everybody. I mean, my thesis has been for a while now. We have a rally to an all-time high in September. We did that. I think I said October we'd have a rough month, but we ended at an all-time high. And I think, we're just getting all this gyration and the market just doesn't know what to do. And the path of least resistance today was down, in my humble opinion, for what it's worth.
And there might have been some stops. People were using this number 2980 as an area. So they ran those stops, but they didn't take out 2940, which is really the more important number in my mind.
Agreed.
But the fear I would have going into October is, these guys start, when you get the VIX does not like to get under 14 for any length of time lately. So if it goes anywhere near 14 or a little less, it does not stay there. And now we're back to 17 on the VIX. So I think there's some evidence that it could be a turn that could be affected by earnings that come out in October. Because I don't think when the VIX is trading at 13 or 15 that they are discounting any earnings surprises at all. In fact, it's extremely complacent. And so if you get a thing like what happened to Ulta, you could have an order imbalance in October, and that might be the better time to get in, if you get it.
I think you nailed something. I mean, I said this today to my subscribers. I think they're resetting a lot of these names coming into third quarter earnings, right? They're pulling them back. But to your point, I've said the VIX has to be over 16 to show fear in this market, and today it took it out with authority, and now we'll see what we do tomorrow. The last thing I want to say on this is we're going to get a lot of tweets and public headlines and announcements between now and the market open tomorrow morning. And, I went home flat. I'll reevaluate this thing tomorrow morning and figure it out from there, because neither side's going to be quiet.
No.
Throw your politics out of it. So back to Adobe. I know you're a big fan of the 200 day and getting too far away from it.
Look
where we are right now.
Yeah.
Right? You're right back on the 200 day. Is there anything wrong with this company? I don't think so. I think it just caught in a sector that they're taking profits in and getting out. And I think this is your first area. If it can hold around 270, I think it might be worth a shot there. You do have earnings coming. And then if you lose 270, my next area would be this big candle cluster down here where we held back there at around 257 in June. That would be an area I'd be interested in taking a look at it. So another 15 points down from here would have my...
The cloud is looking a little heavy, isn't it, though, if you were just independently looking at it? In other words, if it started to break under 267, that cloud would start looking like pressure on the downside, wouldn't it?
Those are the Bollinger Bands.
I thought the light blue that I'm looking at...
No, I'm not a cloud guy, sorry. Those are the Bollinger Bands. So, I'd like to look is for reversion trades or when you take profits, right? So you're out of the Bollinger Bands here a little bit. So if it continued to push, I'd look for reversion. But I really think that, I don't think there's a reason to just go dumping this company, but I wouldn't be jumping into it right now. I'd wait and let it prove itself to me.
If it was the Okeechobee or whatever it's called cloud, that would be sending some vibe to me that it could be rolling over a bit.
Correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump over to a company that said that things looking forward are not as bright as they used to be, and they're no dummies. It's Cisco, CSCO. And after they came out with some sobering comments, they took $10 off the price pretty good. And now we are kind of stabilizing between 46 and 50. What do we look like here?
Old tech was leading for a while this year, wasn't it? We haven't seen Cisco lead for a long time. And then you got this really choppy section up here. And then last earnings, things came off. And then obviously, as you point out, things are not so rosy. The problem with Cisco, and everybody forgets this, these things are always very cyclical in nature, right? Companies go through these periods where their hardware gets too old and they have to do do massive upgrades, and you get into these upgrade cycles where they're just selling hardware over and over again. And then they get to a point where they saturate the market and there's nobody left to upgrade, and people don't upgrade as often as they used to. And with everything going on, the slowdowns in China, and especially with all this move towards 5G, which may take, you know, some of this stuff out of the traditional methods. Yeah, they're seeing a slowdown. They need to, and they're shutting, they were the first to announce it. It's underneath the 200 day, the 100 and the 50 day. It's not acting well. They guided down. I don't expect good earnings. I think this thing could retest 46.
Yeah, that seems to be the range that it's in. I'm trying to look at a longer term graph. And yeah, it does seem like there's a reason why this 45 neighborhood is a reasonable support. And if it took that out, then 40 would be in the cards, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this company and I don't see the major catalyst here at this point. And, yeah. You know, to
and,
me,
and getting above 50 would be a pretty darn good thing if you're bullish.
Yeah, if you could take out this area here and then you get up and going, but then you got the 200 day to deal with at 51. And this name does respect the 200 day. You know, you look on this chart, you can see multiple times it's come into it, it's stopped at it. So it shows you that, you know, this, you know, the institutions do look at this name around the 200 day.
Well, this next company we're going to look at, Chipotle, has been a big, has been one of the stocks I point to when I say that stocks sometimes go back to their mean of the 200 day average, because a lot of these extended stocks have done that, but they all don't do it. And Chipotle is an example of it not doing it. So Chipotle's had a moving average of the 200 day right in the 500 numbers here. And not only has it not come back down toward it, but it just went up and made another big new high up around 857. And then today it was at 846. Now today it did roll over, but you know, until you can show me some sustained weakness, this has been a rough racket to stand in front of, that's for sure. So what do you see on Chipotle?
Well, look at this weekly chart. I mean, talk about your big cup, right? Move here all the way back up here to this highs up here, new all-time highs. Took out, we never thought we'd see these 700s again in this name. Right. Everybody was calling for this thing, the death of it down here. This is, you know, and you look at this, it's just a nice sustained move on the weekly chart, right? Here's your igniting candle that got everything going that week. And then just nice, steady stair-stepping up. You know, it's a consumer staple type stock at this point. A lot of their problems were self-inflicted. They seem to have gotten out of getting people sick. Hey, if you're in the food industry, if you're not getting sick, people sick, that's a good thing, right?
Right.
It's a little frothy up here. I do think that any dips on this name is probably buyable as we move forward. I mean, look at the Shake Shack, the run this thing's had, like this one just took off out of nowhere. I think if you get a dip to the 50 day, which it seems to kind of like and respect, you take your shots on it there, which is right around 806.
I think if it can take out that just below the 800 number, you know, then there could be some, and I was looking, they have, I go into this store because, you know, we go in there and, you know, they're digital, they have an area for digital sales, I guess, where people call in and then the stuff's waiting for them. And I did notice that it seemed like the, you know, a while ago, it was very busy in the digital pickup area. And then sometimes now it doesn't seem like there's anything there. So I don't know if that has anything to do with anything, but if you did want to get negative on this, you could look at it as a double top around 850. And then if you took out the 790 or whatever the heck that area is,
780,
then you could build a case that maybe it would have a correction.
Yeah, you could. The other thing they have going for them at these food companies now is all these deliveries, right? And I joke around, you do see the movie WALL-E from Disney?
Yeah.
You know, everybody's now having their fast food delivered to them at home. We're all going to be sitting in chairs looking like, you know, like 500 pounds. But, you know, Chipotle is one of the names that have signed on with, you know, with these, you know, whether it's Grubhub or DoorDash or Uber Eats. And, you know, people love this. They love just having their fast food delivered to them. It's a changing world, Jim, in that respect. I mean, for me, I would never do that. I don't even.
I would just think your food would be cold when you got it, right?
Right, exactly. I want fresh.
But maybe people are figuring that out, and that's why it's not as busy as it used to be. I'm looking at a 50-day at 790. A breach of that would certainly be a warning sign. And then, of course, the 200-day has moved from the 500 area when I was watching it up to 668. So, you know, it wouldn't be a shock if you took out 790 if you could get some action on the downside. And the volume is in the 400,000 area, and the 200-day volume is almost at 600,000. So the volume is drying a little bit up here. So, you know, under the right circumstances, it could be interesting here up at this level.
But it fits that mold of where they've been hiding all year. Consumer staples, right? Yeah. Safety names, and that's certainly that kind of thing. But I agree. You know,
and the valuation on this thing is off the charts and always has been, right?
Yeah, under when it went down into those low numbers, yeah. I mean, it's just always had this high valuation on it.
Yeah, it's like anything else. There'll be one day when people will care about that. That day hasn't come, but it generally comes at some point.
You know, this market is... unique. It's different. It's a lot to do with the banks of the world. The big banks holding, supporting everything up here. At some point, we're going to hit a bear market, right? Everybody says bear markets are over, and no such thing as anything being over. But for now, the market's okay. And for me, when I look at the market, Jim, we've yet to see that dumb, silly blow off top, that stupid move, right? Bull markets end with a stupid move. Yeah. We haven't seen that yet.
No, we took out the 2940 stops when we went on this last run. I thought they were going to go and get the last of the stops, which is right around 3030. And I thought that would be the end of the story. And I have it hard to believe that, they wouldn't want to run those stops and, of course, get short while all the shorts are buying and then let it drop after that. But so far that hadn't happened. But I wouldn't rule that out. One more rally, would not surprise me. This next one does a tremendous amount of volume, 72 million shares today. Advanced Micro Devices, AMD.
So,
AMD, I haven't seen that's a lot of volume, isn't it?
AMD is one of my favorite names in the semi sector. I love the CEO. I love what they're doing. They're taking on Intel and they're beating them. They're taking on NVIDIA and they're beating them, right? So they're in both those segments. This area right now around this 2950, it's been where it's holding, right? As it's been going sideways, digesting. And when you look at this on a chart, we hit on this, look at this. You hit a 5-year high. You have to go back all the way to the .com crash before you start getting above here. So it's been a long time for this thing to come back up, from back all the way down here in the single numbers, in the last couple of years, all the way up to this area. Mm-hmm. What's been going on with this name this last week? It started on Friday. Friday into the lows, it was a block trade. Somebody bought 1.4 million shares and they were sweeping the hell out of this week's 31s and 3050 calls. And then then the November 31s got bought hard, huge volume. And then yesterday they were buying hand over fist the weekly 32 calls. And, the Nigerians came on, they pumped it and you got this move up. And then this morning it came out the news that they're delaying the launch of their two new chips, their Ryzen chipset, to November by 2 months. And it got killed on that, but everybody's missing the reasoning behind it. The reason is demand is so high, they can't meet it. So they're delaying it so they can get enough supply out and increase production. Okay. That's not a bad reason to me, Jim.
No. I look at the valuation, though, 167 PE ratio. I mean, isn't this the poster child of valuation stretch?
Well, yeah, if you want to think, if you think the semis trade on fundamentals.
Yeah, right. So it basically just tells you that this type of sector, you can throw the PE ratios out the window because if they got what they got, they're going to run. And if they don't, then you're going to see 30 go down to 20 like it did before.
Yeah, honestly, I think a dip to the 200 here would be an incredible gift for a long-term buy. And that's all the way. That's 26, 27 area. We're not talking
that's
that
nothing.
Far down.
Yeah, that's nothing.
And that's, and it also, what I like to look at is when you see the 200-day and you have an area of support around it, right? You see a confluence of candles. That tells you it's very likely to hold that first time into there. The whole semi sector with China is under fire too. This market, like it or not, is extremely fixated on this trade war and any news on it.
Yeah. So, and I think, frankly, the likelihood of a resolution that would be, total victory for the U.S., I just think these people would rather be patient and see what happens with this election than to give away the shop with 12 months to go.
I can't argue with that. And, the truth is negotiations are, a good deal is usually where neither side's happy, right?
Right. And it looks like our side wants to be the one who's happy 100%.
100%. Yep. And that's, you can't get a deal when you're like that. But this 2950 area, this is an area to watch for the rest of this week. If it continues to hold here, it's telling you that it's not ready to go. But that said, it's definitely not acting well the last month and a half. I've traded a couple times, including yesterday. I've made money on it, but I'm not sticking with the long term right now. It's in and out trades.
Well, this next one is FIS, Fidelity National Information Services. It's been having a very nice rally up until the last month or so. And then in the last month or so, it's been kind of rolling over a bit, but now it's been stable at the 130 level. Today was up in a down day, so that's interesting. And they're not exactly low PE at 57-1, but overall, this has been a very good stock.
Jim, I know nothing about these guys. I got to be honest with you. I think it's the first time I've ever looked at this symbol.
I don't know them either. I know Fidelity, but it has nothing to do with this company.
I'm like, okay. It's a hell of a move, right? I mean, look at the last year. Move off of 94 up to 140. And you got to love the way it's done it. Nice controlled stair stepping, right? And, mm-hmm. and you know, But that's what you want to see. We don't like when we get these huge moves because you know those are coming back.
Right.
But yeah, but you know, at this point, I look at the chart and from a technical perspective, the charts change character. You know, like if you use the 21-day, the black line as the support, you can see how it's constantly kind of held this through this run other than this one little dip here, whatever blip that was probably earnings, but they bought it right back the next day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when we took it out here in early September on the 9th, now it's become resistance, right? You can see every time we push above it, we never hold it. We fail and we get back below before the close. And that tells me that there's still sellers in this thing. They're not willing to let momentum come back into this name. You got the 50-day, the 21-day there. It's still in, you know, well above the 200-day, as you would, I'm sure you would point out here. I think this name is changing character, and I would not be looking to be long it until it closed over the 21-day here or even, you know, a solid close here. I think I would just stay out of it or maybe look to short it even if it broke down.
The volume today on this little advance was half of what the volume has been in the last 50-day average. So that's not a tremendously impressive situation when you go up on light volume. So that's another thing to keep an eye on there. But again, I'm not familiar with the company at all. So Computer Services is their Dow industry group.
Yeah, I've never heard of them though. I mean, it's in a, you know, it's in a great spot. It's done well. I don't know enough about them.
Yeah,
you know,
they're a big outfit. So it's nothing against the firm. It's just something that we're not watching. $80 billion company is certainly not a mom and pop operation. So it's a big outfit. It's just something that's not on our radar. Technically, again, you have the high at 141, and you got the 200-day down at 116. It's in the process of trying to maybe mitigate that differential.
Agree with you 100%.
The next one is Moo.
Big week here.
Yeah, and today was off a couple percent. It's been the high's been 51, so it's not too far off the high. But it did roll over a little bit today. The action today does look a little rollover-y, but that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. There's a gap, I guess, between 45 and something else that might be going down to get a little bit of action.
Well, Micron has earnings on Thursday.
Okay.
So you know, everything kind of is taken with a grain of salt here because of that. So let's back up on this chart. You see this gap here? That was last earnings. And I call this a change in character. I called it out on Twitter. I've called it out in a couple names. And why? Because you get this big gap up, close up strong, and you never come down and retest it, right? Notice how it just took off from that gap, right? As weak as this has been and how it's been, and if you look at this on a a five-year chart, you can see that Micron here had this big move off the lows that David Tepper called it out in lows. And it's basically been consolidating this move. And on a weekly chart, this doesn't look so bad, does it? Mm-hmm. Right? You look at this, say, hey, it's up into this area. But on a daily, it's been a little whippy. But this change character. They said that they've seen the worst is over behind them. They see growth. They see everything moving in the right direction. And then you get this nice controlled move all the way up here to 48, pull back, consolidates, and then pushes back up over 50. And then you get this little pull in here ahead of earnings because people are obviously going to take profits, right? Nothing wrong with taking a profit. That old saying, bears make money, bulls make money, pigs get slaughtered. Today, Trump specifically mentioned them at his United Nations address.
Yeah, they did. Yep, he did.
And that started that big selling off within it. I can't tell you what's going to happen over the next 48 hours with this name because to me, earnings are always a crapshoot. But if it's strong, it's going to take out this 51 area and blast off and continue this trend change that started here. And if it's weak, as you pointed out, you have a couple little gaps here to fill quickly down to 45 and then you can even go lower. And you want to say something, I'll even go find the implied move for you this week. I'll tell you what the options players are expecting.
And the other thing that I'm unclear of because I'm not an expert in the Micron technology is the semis tend to have very high PE ratios, yet this PE ratio is showing 5.6 to 1. Why would they value this company be so cheap on the price to earnings ratio? Because the earnings are volatile?
That's a good question, Jim. I don't know. Micron is more in the memory space. It's, you know, consider semi the memory, and they're in everything, right? Phones, computers. Yeah. I mean, you name it. They're all over the place. That's a very, you know, that seems incredibly low for me. If that's true, and that's correct, yes. I would say they're screaming buy.
You would think so. I mean, it's not too hard to do a premium PE multiple expansion when you're at 5, you know?
The implied move is only $3.14.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not exactly a huge implied move for this name coming into earnings this week. For me, again, I wouldn't trade this name until after earnings unless I was just day trading and scalping it, and then I would play it after that. Otherwise, I would leave it alone for the next 2 days.
All right, we're going to go over to China now, and we are going to take a look at Baidu.
Ugh.
And Baidu is probably one of the lesser ones you'd want to buy because you'd like to buy ones where the chart starts in the bottom left corner and goes to the upper right corner. And that's not the, what this chart looks like. So at any rate, in fact, direct opposite. So anyway, if you want to step in front of a freight train, you got an opportunity here. Catch a falling knife or any other cliche you want to come up with. But Baidu's at 97 and change, down almost 5% today. And what are you seeing there?
Yuck.
Yeah.
You know, this name, look at this run. You know, this is looking at a weekly chart, was trading up at 275. And then they just had a bunch of earnings miss. And then they guided down hard. And here you are on a five-year low. That's pretty damn impressive. That's not easy to do.
No. I think the person who put it on the list wants to know, is it time to go here and start looking for diamonds in the junkyard?
So in all honesty, I cannot recommend a China name until we get a trade war deal or we think we're getting close. Yeah.
If you take a long-term perspective, there's some lows that come in at 90.
Yep.
So if you wanted to hold on to, if you were a strap hanger on the subway, that would be a strap hanger that might get you to your next stop. You
know, but look at how tight range these candles have gotten on the daily. This thing has become incredibly choppy, weak, doesn't have the volume it used to have. Mm-hmm. And if I want to play China, I'd rather play BABA or JD.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Right? I mean,
why don't we take a look at BABA? Because obviously that is seems to be the Cadillac of that market.
Yep. And, you know, this name has been trying to break this quad top of 180 now for a while. Did it last week, then yanked. And today they had an analyst day. Obviously, they didn't say anything good. Now, remember, this is the first analyst day without Jack Ma as right. He retired. They didn't announce guidance, which they have done previously at most of their analyst days. So I think you saw a little bit of the love come out of it because of that. But honestly, this chart is a heck of a lot better. I mean, look at the daily chart. I mean, I'd rather be in this than looking at Baidu or JD.
Right.
At least they're trying to break to the upside.
Right. Although I'm looking at a longer term chart and it looks like there was a lot of high points around the 200 area, yep. Then a big drop, then a rally that couldn't take out the 200 area, then a drop. The drop didn't take out the former drop, so that's positive. But this rally also didn't take out 200.
No, but look at this weekly chart, Jim. I mean, yeah. you do have a little bit of a downtrend here on the weekly, right? You can see it kind mm-hmm. of coming through here, but it's kind of consolidating this big move. You remember when they yeah. IPO'd, they got that huge valuation. They were up to 100 and they dropped mm-hmm. all the way down to the 40s down here.
Right.
You know, that's a big move, right? 40 up to 200.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, what does this look like? It looks like a stock that is consolidating that move. And obviously also affected by what's going on between us and China. If you get a trade deal, this thing, I would, if you get a good trade deal and one that everybody likes, I bet you it takes out the all-time highs in short order.
Yeah. Well, this next one is biotech, and it's the Mercedes-Benz of biotech, the big boy. It's Amgen, AMGN.
Well, they just had news a couple minutes ago, so it's coming on.
Yeah, it's up a little bit in the aftermarket as far as I can see.
It gave a lot of it back. It popped almost $4 and gave a lot of it back, gave almost all of it back. But yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, anyway, on an overall basis, you know, the stock's been trying to go up. It's gone from 166 on the 52-week low up to 211, and now it's at 196. Again, it's a solid company, pays almost 3% dividend and 15 PE ratio. And obviously, it's one of the largest cap ones you can find in this industry. So what do you think?
You know, they had some bad drug data a couple weeks ago. That was that drop. They had some good drug data. Obviously, that was the big pop. If you want to play a biotech, and that sector is under incredible political turmoil, right, and firepower right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen the biotech sector taking out commercials on TV, and I saw that this weekend, talking about American biotech and how you need to support it because of the innovation. This is one of the better ones to be in. You know, this thing looked good. It looked ready to run up here. You know, biotechs don't trade on valuation. They trade on drug data.
Right.
So, you know, if it can hold 194, I think you can try to be long off of that area and then look for a move back up, and then you need to take out 210 to get going. So it's kind of range bound between in this point on that.
I was looking at Bristol Myers Squibb and Pfizer as possibly looking decent. Can you throw those up real quick? Can we take a look at those?
Absolutely.
PFE and BMY.
Which one do you want first?
Pfizer.
There you go.
And it's down a little bit today. It's hit the low. That yields at 4%. What do you think?
There's other names in big pharma I'd rather be in than Pfizer.
Well, let's look at Bristol Myers, see what you think there.
And again, BMY. Just look at the chart. It's had this big fall, not acting well, not holding strong here. BMY, the last I looked at a couple of days ago, was acting. Oops, BMY, not BUY, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Right, acting better. This chart's been beat up. It's bottoming. It's curling back up. This is the type of chart you like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming off, curling up, not rushing too fast. Nice sustained move. You know, got a little hot in RSI. What did it do with the last 2 days with a hot RSI? Cooled off, but only it held the 8-day. That's pretty bullish to me, Jim.
Yeah, and the 52-week low is a decent line in the sand.
Yep.
And you're going to get paid 3.25 while you're looking at the movie. So it's not. I don't think that's a terrible setup. And since we're in this sector already, and there is another stock, and this is one I was going to bring up, because I've been watching this to see if there's any value here, because you're buying it at a very big discount to where the price has been, and that's BIIB, Biogen.
I wouldn't touch this with a 50-foot pole.
I know. The volume on that drop was enormous, and any rally has not been met by large volume at all. Well, but I'm not an expert at their pipeline or anything
else. I have a friend who works in biotech, and he specifically said that they're dead. They're done. He knows.
And New Jersey is very big on biotech. Merck's in there. Pfizer's in there. You know, so it's really, if you get a guy who's in that business, they'd probably, you know a little bit about the business because there's so much action there.
They have no pipeline left. Their last big drug was an Alzheimer's drug that had looked very promising. And that big move down was a drug failure.
Oh, I got you.
Okay. And at this point, their pipeline's dry. Somewhere in here, they announced a massive buyback as a way to try to boost the stock back up.
Yeah.
They need to buy somebody. I mean, you know, you look at these big biotechs, they're all looking to buy people like, you know, Gilead and Regeneron because they've lost that ingenuity they had, right? That they all have. So they look to buy these little guys. But bottom line, this sector's under fire. This name is probably the worst of it.
Yeah.
Everybody say, oh, it's basing down here. Well, you know, if it has no pipeline left, what are you going to get out of it?
Yeah, if it got above 250, it would be more interesting. I'm looking at a longer term graph. The number 200 is very important to this stock because it had high points in 2013 around 200. It had a low point in 2016 at 200. And of course, this year, the low has been, or 52-week low anyway, has been 215. So this 200 number is obviously an important number, but there's a ton of resistance that it has a hard time at 250 right now. So you're in a window, 50 buck window, whichever way it breaks, I'd probably play it that way.
If I was going to play biotech, Jim, honestly, Merck and Big Pharma, look at this chart.
Yeah, Merck's always a
but look at how nice and strong that is here. Not far off, it's 52-week high. If I wanted to be more in biotech, I would try a name like Medco, which had good data and just flagging up here, right? Buyout candidate based upon that. Or maybe even, you know, don't laugh, Bausch & Lomb. This name has been beaten the hell out of. But they have one thing going for them that a lot of the other companies out there don't. They're not in the caught up in the opioid crisis that's going on in this country and facing that, like Teva and Mylan, right? So, you know, they're trying, they're slowly starting to get their act together off this big low. Again, I'm not recommending these guys. I'm saying if I absolutely had to play in here, that's where I would play.
Yeah, two of the stronger names are Amgen and
Merck.
And Merck.
Yeah.
You know, obviously. I don't know what Warren Buffett and his boys were thinking about. I don't know if they probably have ditched the position, but they were kind of big on Teva.
He's still in
it. They're still in it?
They're still in it. And I mean, this thing is just, you know, beaten to a pulp. This move down from all the way up here. And I think he even owned it higher than that. I think he was buying it in the 30s, if I remember right. That's when he started building his position. I mean, here's your 5-year chart when it was up in the 60s. I mean, this thing has just been abused.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. The lady who got them involved in Kraft, I guess, was in the she's left the firm now. I don't know if she left what the circumstances were. They said they liked her a lot, but they couldn't have liked too much getting involved in Kraft.
We liked her enough as we kicked her ass out the door. Take care. Thanks so much for these positions.
I mean, I'm sure it was a huge amount of money, you know.
I mean,
they only take huge positions.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he's got big shares in Teva. I mean, KHC. I mean, you know, everybody makes mistakes. I think that's one that, you know, everybody looks at these things and say, oh, nobody, you had a losing day or you had a losing trade. We're all going to have those. They happen. You make mistakes. You know, things happen. News happens. Even the best of them out there. It's so.
And some of his best deals are like buying Coca-Cola and holding it on for 40 years.
Yep.
And the other seems to be going into where there's trouble and getting warrants on things right before they turn. That's why it'd be interesting to see what happens to Oxy, knowing that he's got warrants in there, just like he had warrants on B of A at like $10 a share or something, and B of A is now at 30.
You know, Oxy really is going to be interesting. I mean, that name is just an absolute war right now. You got Carl Icahn in there fighting to get that deal undone. That's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out over the next month or so.
Yeah. A lot of the energy stocks, you know, are trying to give you an idea that they might be trying to turn, but they're not, they're not showing tremendous legs, but they are giving some indication of a turn. I don't see any energy stocks on this thing, but well, let's go back to the list here. And
well, if we have time, we can go into some.
Yeah. Well, what do we got here? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got some time. Well, David sometimes likes to do a halftime deal. Let's go into some energy shares. Which ones are you looking at here? I was looking at British Petroleum and all those kind of things.
I have a long term position in RIG. I've traded in and out of this thing over the last couple of years multiple times, and I've always kept a couple hundred shares just to keep my eye on it. I have a horrible tendency when I don't have a position to stop looking at it. So I added to this again the other day up into this six area, and I'm red on. But I think, you know, this is one name I like longer term if energy turns, especially if we have any type of problems in the Middle East. But again, beating the hell out of down here, I'm not really worrying about it. It's again long term account. But honestly, I think if there's no additional conflict in the Middle East and there's no trade deal, you know, there's just a glut of oil in the world.
Yeah. I mean, you know what got me? Somebody was going on and on about the world reserves.
Yeah.
I think maybe it was even Trump in his speech. And he said something, or somebody was saying it. I don't know, because I watch a lot of Slate's. I don't know where I heard it. But it was like, man, they've got 500 million barrels, and they've got 200 million barrels. And if you add up all the strategic reserves, it's 1.5 billion barrels. And I go, God, that sounds like a lot of barrels.
You know? Remember, everybody's cutting to keep prices up.
Yeah.
So when that plant in Saudi Arabia got hit and everybody started freaking out, I'm like, yeah, Saudi Arabia's already cutting by almost 20 or 30%. So it's really not that big of a deal.
My thing is I don't know if there's an angle going on here. And believe me, I've been around long enough to see, I've seen enough that I'm suspicious of everything I see. And so I'm a little suspicious about the whole situation with the oil fields over there, because Aramco is trying to bring an offering and they'd like to get a $2 trillion market cap. And that's just not going to happen if we're tanking in oil and everyone's thinking that the world is a glut of oil and this is an obsolete resource or something like that. So I'm a little bit suspicious that there's a coordinated situation going to try to get the oil to go so that they can get this offering sold. And then maybe then the bottom falls out afterwards. So do you feel like there could be any correlation to oil prices maybe having an upswing and the Aramco deal coming?
So you're saying you're a conspiracy theorist?
No, I'm a cynic. I was born back east. Of course I'm a cynic.
I just had to have fun with you.
If you're from the tri-state area, you're a cynic.
I am. Honestly, I think this is all a bunch to do about nothing. Yeah, you're right. They want a big valuation. Oil needs to be higher, right? But again, the problem is that, you know, the United States is, you know, producing tremendous, number one producer in oil and natural gas in the world right now. Nobody's paying attention to this, but China is very quietly holding, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of barrels of Iranian
oil. Oh, they got a big stockpile too, yeah.
Of Iranian oil that is not in, you know, they legally haven't accepted in their country, but they're allowing Iran to keep shipping it there and stockpiling it in this kind of in-between area, right? It's not clearing. They're not using it in China. It's not in their customs, but it's being stored there. There's oil everywhere. So I agree. Maybe they're trying to raise prices. I mean, I'm amazed that there was no retaliation against Iran, and I don't think there will be at this point. I mean, bottom line, if we haven't had it now, unless they do something else, I don't think there's going to be. And so maybe you're right. There's an interesting thought. I never thought about that. Maybe Saudi's trying to raise oil prices, but it didn't work because oil got killed today.
Yeah. No, I mean,
back to 56.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't know, but you don't know what other shoes are going to be dropping. And so I'm just saying, if you start seeing $60 and $70 oil either this year or next year, and coincidentally, they're coming out with the Aramco deal, then I think there could be some kind of a sneaky thing going on. But let's turn to a sector that has been really good this year. But it has slowed down a bit. They always say, as part of a portfolio, it's good to have a little bit of this in there, and that is in the gold and silver. So, can we look at some of those stocks and get an idea of what's going on there? I have my own opinion, but let's hear what you got to say.
Well, GDX. I mean, look at this move the last couple of days, right? GDX is the gold miners,
right?
I've been saying forever they've been piling into gold. Gold is the safe haven. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not piling into bonds. They're not. Somebody said Bitcoin was a safe haven. I've been laughing at that. That got killed today, by the way. But gold, yeah. I mean, this is their safe haven. I've been saying gold's going to 1600 for a while. Mm-hmm. It had a nice move today. It closed up at, 15? It hit 1543 at one point.
Right.
You know, if you want to protect your portfolio, gold, GDX, you said silver. It had a huge move yesterday. Today was weird. It just, you know, yesterday, I'm not sure why silver gapped up and ran so much. But today it was GDX's day. Bottom line is this is where they're hiding. They're hiding in precious metals. They're hiding in the miners that support them. You know, that's where you want to be. If you want to protect your your portfolio, that's a place to go into here.
Yeah. The problem I have, and here's my scenario, because I was bullish on this thing, you know, a long time ago. And so this parabolic type move up, you know, is nice to have owned some of it, right? But to go in here as an initial situation is a little bit difficult because it's so far away from its 200-day moving averages. And so, again, I'm big on, you know, not getting too far away from the averages and then start putting positions on. So I had been thinking the sell zone of 1520 to 1580 would be the sell zone. Just like on stocks, my feeling is my base case is 2950 to 3100 is a sell zone. So having said that, you know, I'm looking for sideways consolidation and pullback, which is I'm getting in the S&P, and I'm kind of looking for that here in these metals as well. But I did say last week that if you thought the pullback was over when we went down from 19 to 16 and change on silver and on gold, you know, from 15 and 80 or whatever, 70, and then we pulled back into the high 1400s. If you think that pullback's over, you just buy it and you put it on a short leash, which is last week's low. So those who bought it on the drop and used last week's low as the line in the sand, they're making some good money this week. But I'm still concerned that the extent it is above the 200-day average is concerning. So my feeling is if you own stuff, you hold on to it. But I wouldn't add unless we broke above 1600 or we came back and, you know, got a little bit closer to the 200-day.
Or if the market just decides to dump, I think you just take it. Jim, there's sometimes, and I'm bad at it because I don't like to, like you, I don't like to chase, right? Yeah. But I think this, right. If the market decides to dump, you just hold your nose and grab something.
Yeah, because it could be have another parabolic move, you know, because, you know, like I say, Tudor Jones was on file thinking that we were going towards 1700.
Yeah.
And he thought if we broke 1400, it could get to 1700 rather quick. And so I would think a few months is pretty quick. Yeah. But I think longer term, you know, you've got what? You've got a Federal Reserve that wants inflation to come back. You have got an administration who wants the dollar to go way down. You have got an administration that's running trillion-dollar deficits late cycle. You've got QE coming out with the Fed funds overnight rate. Wouldn't be too hard to extend that QE to more stuff, you know what I mean? So yep. A lot of printing going on. And these guys want inflation to come back. And, you know, Lagarde's coming in there with the ECB, and they're all talking about fiscal stimulus. So the last place in the world you want to be is in $16 trillion of negative yielding rates if Europe gets their economy going, because, you know, there'll be people trying to come out of $16 trillion of bonds, and there's not going to be 16 trillion buyers there, you know?
You don't think? Come on. No. I mean, Jim.
People don't think there's a bubble anywhere. For God's sake, you've gone from $5 trillion negative yielding sovereign debt to $16 trillion in a year. Now, you know, that is like the poster child of bubble. And what would make that vulnerable is obviously if inflation or growth turned around in Europe. And that's exactly what Lagarde is going to be trying to do. And Germany, you know, they say is on the verge or a little bit in recession. They've got the reserves to do a stimulus package. And I don't think when you've got negative yields, they're looking for anything other than slowdown.
Yeah. I mean, negative yields are never a good thing.
No, and the bank in the Société Générale is at like $6 a share and Deutsche Bank's at about $7. So yeah. their banks, to the French bank and the German banks, only a few digits away from zero. So, you know.
Wasn't there a DB buyout rumor about a month and a half ago?
Which one be rumor?
DB, Deutsche Bank.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. No, they were going to try to buy Commerce Bank.
And well, then that's they it.
Said, no, ugly plus ugly equals
uglier.
Right. So there wasn't much going on. All right. Well, let's flip back. You know, again, that the sector of metals, I think, is very important looking forward. And so it's good for people to see the chart, see some perspective, and then, you know, get some ideas of where you're at. But it's a very strong sector right now. And there's a decent fundamental reason behind it. Okay. We're back on the chart and we're going to the big boy here, the one everybody's talking about. And that's Apple.
Well, you know, ugly reversal candle today, right? Had that big upgrade.
I would say so.
Pop. Up to 222.50, closed on the dead lows and engulfed the previous day's 2 days candles here and engulfed this range. And you know, this name's not going anywhere, Jim. I mean, you know, you and I both know this name's not going anywhere. It's caught up in the China trade talks, although they're getting tariff exemptions. They seem to be okay at this point. Mm-hmm. It's having a hard time breaking out of this range, you know, like a lot of names. And I think it's just kind of a good representation of the overall market, but it's holding in better, right? I mean, here it is. It's you know, where the markets hit the 50-day today on the SPY, we just barely broke through the 8-day. So it's showing strength. So if the market bounces, this is a name you look at. It's got a big buyback in place, $75 billion. $1 billion buyback in place. It's got huge, you know, guys like Warren Buffett who have bought this thing hand over fist. I don't think it's going anywhere. Initial reports on their new iPhone sales have been stronger than expected, especially on the lower lower price model.
Mm-hmm.
I think Apple TV is going to be a bust, personally. I think there's just way too much.
I mean, the $4.99, they're just trying to get people to do it.
That's exactly it. And they don't have enough to offer. I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is. But
it's like jumping into a pizza contest with Patsy's and and Grimaldi's, and you're going to say, well, but my pizza is only $4 a slice.
Yeah, yeah, my pizza is cheaper, but it's nowhere near as good.
I mean, that's how I see it, but I could be wrong.
So honestly, I would look at this on any market bounce, but you know, if it wanted to, you know, to your point, it's gotten a little bit away from the 200-day at this point, but you know, it could drop. Yeah,
It's 15% above, which is not over the top, but it's certainly a little bit over the top. And it's had a heck of a time getting this 233. So if this 233 gets taken out, then I'll start listening to the stories that the stock could go to 350, like the guy from Loop Ventures is always talking about. You know, the guy with the red phone on CNBC. You know, he's saying their services and these other things are cooking, and they got other stuff going on, and the watches and the wearables and this and that. Hey, listen, this stock is, you know, obviously one of the great success stories. This year alone, it's gone from 150 to where we are now. So if it does bust above 233, you know, definitely I'd have my ears open that if we could be on to that next big move. Other than that, you
maybe
know,
maybe around 209 the 50-day, Jim, I would be a buyer.
Take a shot.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at a stock called Amazon, AMDN, and I'm saying that if it breaks under 1700, it might be saying something that people are not ready to hear.
Well, you know, you had a head and shoulders top that triggered today.
Okay.
And a lot of people weren't looking at this. We in my service, we went over this the other day. We drew it out, but you had this right through here. You had this trend line for your shoulder to break. Oops, I just screwed. And what did it do today? It took it out with power. Look at the volume on that move. That big and down candle took out the 200-day with force for the first time since back here in June. You know, this name has been a tough name lately. I have not traded it much in the last 3 months. I think maybe, you know, one or two times, because it's choppy, it's whippy, it doesn't seem to have anything. You know, their last couple of earnings reports just have not been anything special.
P ratio is up at 72. You know, when I first got negative on it at 2050, the P ratio was 108. So, you know, people are starting to not want to pay, you know, such a high valuation for this thing, because I think they're saying that maybe the ideas are not coming out of the faucet as fast as they used to.
They're not. And you're looking at when you look at a head and shoulders top, you take the top of the head to the shoulders, the neckline to where it breaks, right? You're looking at a fairly substantial down move if this is real and it gets to its actual top position. From you're looking from 2020, let's call it, all the way down to 1750. You got a couple hundred bucks here of downsize into the 1500s potentially. Now you do have earnings coming up in about 40 days.
Yeah, this would be a situation where you'd use the 1700 area as a line in the sand, and you'd be thinking that they just busted the 50 and the 200 day just to get everybody out. And then if the news is very good, then the volume could go the other way. But the volume today on the downside was pretty good at 4.6 million. And so, but what you could see is a lower volume rally that may not last.
Right. And again, they're in that space that we've been talking about that money's been flowing out of. They're money making. Everybody thinks of Amazon. Everybody thinks of their retail, right? They're online selling. But really, their money's all in the cloud. And what's been getting beat up lately? Cloud names.
Yep. All right. Well, let's go through. We got a few names and we're going to go rapid fire here. Home Depot down not very much today. Again, this is a two-horse race like Boeing and Airbus. This is Home Depot and Lowe's. So obviously, it's a great company and has been a great company. What do you think?
Another one of those names have been hiding in, you know, whether it's Walmart, Target, Costco, Lowe's, or Home Depot. Some of these big retailers, they've been playing and propping them up. Coming to the end of the buying season here, as hurricane season dies off, if there's nothing else going on, then it usually gets a little quieter in the winter. No real catalyst here at this point.
Yeah, and certainly if the S&P is not going to blow out 3,000 in 30-30 and is going to have a correction, this name will be on the list from that. And the 200-day average on this baby is down at 196. Not too bad. All right, let's go over
guys, we had a request from the live audience for SPY.
Okay, S&P. So that one. That's not a secret stock.
Let me use the dividend with the dividend taken out for it. I've been going over this for a while. I see a cup and handle position here on the SPY, Jim. Mm-hmm. While today's action in the last couple of days looks bad, remember we had $1.60 something come out for the dividend, so it's not quite as bad as it looks compared to the ES or the SPX, right? Because mm-hmm. we're not, you know, we haven't synced back up yet. But one thing I did notice, whereas the SPY made a new all-time high, the SPX mm-hmm. and the ES did not, and that's mm-hmm. unusual. Usually it's the other way around, right?
Okay.
Usually the SPY trails the SPX and the ES. But you held today at the 50-day, and this every morning I go over levels, my guys. I said, you know, you got to hold the 21-day, then you have to hold the 50-day. You know, right to the 50-day, and we stopped today. We're in a political headline-driven market. I'm flat. If we dump tomorrow, I would look towards the 291 area, and then if we really want to, then we start looking down here into these lows down here around 282. But you know, if this is all driven by impeachment, and he releases the unredacted transcripts of that call, where do we go from? And they're clean. Where do we go from here? I mean, this is a great opportunity to buy.
I think this market is kind of like being in the middle of the turnpike and both sides are going 90 miles an hour. And which one do you want to jump on? Meaning, I think if we take out 3,030.30, you're going to get a very nice rally to the upside. And that would be probably fueled by, like you say, the Trump deal turns out to be a dud. And also the earnings come in and surprise a little bit on the upside. Conversely, if we take out 2,940 and 2,900, then and the news on these earnings is more like FedEx and a lot less like good news, then you could go and that could be the one that takes you down to the 2,800 or less. So the bottom line is, this is a rough racket right this second to make some big decision, and without a bayonet at the back of your head, you might be better not to do it.
Last thoughts on this, Jim, and I've been saying this for a while. I look at this weekly chart and I see, if you go back in time, it looks like you're in a consolidation pattern.
Sure.
After this huge run up, this market is consolidating that big move, and it's more volatile, it's whippier than we've seen in the past, but honestly, I still think this market has higher to go before it gives it up.
Oh yeah, I mean, like I say, you know, it's not going to surprise me which way it breaks, yep. And since it's above the 2940 level, I'd still say that the chances are going higher. Plus, all those stops above 30.30, there's got to be some guy who knows that if we can run those things, volume would be huge with short covering. They can sell into that volume. The volume dries up, and that's the place you want to be selling, if anything.
Yeah, so, you know, weakness here, I'd be buying it, especially for an end-of-the-year run. Just, but it's politically driven. So the best thing you can do right now, in my opinion, is long-term positions, you don't care. If you're trading every day in the market, be careful, trade smaller, or sit on the sidelines until we get out of some of this political instability.
And it might be a tremendous time to be looking into investigating strangles because, you know, like I say, with the earnings things coming up in October and the Chinese are supposed to be meeting in October and we got this thing with the Ukraine, well, that's a lot of stuff hitting the fan. And when the VIX is only around 15, 16, that's not either excessive or low. And so you could see volatility expansion dramatically in the month of October.
Agreed.
Okay, let's real quick go to a couple more. We got a minute or two. Let's go over to McDonald's, and that is pretty much going to be, you know, it's up a little bit, and it's obviously a great company, and the people can't get enough of their food. And
gotta have your dollar menu.
Yep. So, I mean, like I say, if we're going to get a rally, this thing will be part of it. If we had a correction, you know, it might go down towards that 200 maybe.
This name's been one of the places they've been hiding all year. You know, bottom line is you saw around 220. It couldn't break through that one. Finally saw a break in the name, came to the 100-day where it's held, right? You can see like that gold line right here. You know, talk about holding. Again, this is probably likely a name they're waiting on earnings, probably a name they'll hide back in again, but it's run a lot. And for a name, a big name like this, they don't generally run this big. So that's a pretty big run for them.
Microsoft, MSFT, went up to that 142 area. People have told me that that area is a place where they have some trouble exceeding. And so far that's been the case. We're down at 137. Obviously they got $40 billion ready to go to buy their stock, but it is a $1 trillion company. So $40 billion is a big number, but in relation to a trillion, it's not that big. Are we going to get a follow through on the upside and break this 42, or are we going to be having a correction?
Bottom line is right here. I've been calling this out for a while. You have an uptrend, and every time it comes down to it, it holds it. So we're close to it here. I would try it off of there, especially if it held it. I would take a shot on it off of there. Put a new all time high in this week at 142 level. Pulling back here with the markets still looks better than most out there. It's kind of stuck in this, you know, this little bit of a chop zone here at this point. But you know, you have a rising wedge.
Yeah. No, there's no evidence of anything. It's very similar, obviously, to the S&P, and that's why it's one of the bellwethers.
Yep.
The volume today was a little bit more than normal, but nothing off the charts. Last one is the semiconductor NVIDIA.
I hate it.
And It probably got hit today, and it did. Yep. It tried to do a bounce back rally, and is it failing?
You know, for me, this name had its run. And remember we talked about you want nice, easy, you know, runs. This thing ran too hard, too fast up to the 300 area, right?
Right.
And now it's correcting. Notice it's holding on the weekly chart, though, your 200-day moving average.
Right.
I just don't see the catalyst. I think they're still trying to get their act together. I need an earnings report that is stellar to get back interested in this name.
And if you got it, it could pop to 200 and tell you that it's off to the races again. But without that, you don't have that evidence.
Correct. And, you know, their new video card line is just not, it's a new technology. It's just not working as well as everybody had hoped. And AMD's biting into them deep. And I just think that there's better names in the space to play, like Micron and AMD and even LRCX. My two cents.
Okay. All right. Well, our time's up. And Mike's going to now reintroduce himself to people that are just tuning in. And also, Mike, give them an idea how to get a hold of you over at the company. And also, if you have any special offers, this is a great time to give them up.
Sure. Again, smartoptiontrading.com. Come in. If you're interested in what I do, click on Real-Time Option Flow. You can come in here. You get a morning setups video every day. You get a nightly recap video every day. I do trading every week. We do a webinar. It's Thursdays at 4 p.m. where we go over teaching stuff I can't teach when I'm live. You get all the option flow, my trades, news, events, my feel for the overall markets, and I'm live 3+ hours a day with you. I do $25 as an introductory rate for the first month, $100 there a month thereafter. Cancel anytime. You can either send me an email through contact here or, you know, come on Twitter. Hit me at Options Mike and just send me a direct message or hit me a message and I'll hit you right back. Jim,
okay,
thanks
that's,
for having me
yeah.
on.
Oh, yeah. And again, everybody do take advantage of getting a hold of Mike and looking into what he can bring to the table for you. Again, that introductory offer he has seems like a pretty fair deal. I'm Jim Kenny, optionprofessor.com. If you have any questions on what I'm looking at or what I'm up to, just shoot an email, optionprofessor@gmail.com. Okay, that's about it. And again, Mike, thanks for being here. We'll do it again, of course. And back to David.
All right, thanks, guys. Great info today. So just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. And you can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show or any of the past shows. Also did a great set of presentations on Saturday with Jim and a few other educators. So if you want to check that out, just that's available too on Timing Research. If you just scroll down a few posts, you can see all those presentations there. And just want to thank my guests again for today, Mike Pisani of smartoptiontrading.com and Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David. Night, guys.